broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Raheel, along with Dell now for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Raheel, welcome back to the show. Dell and I were talking about you yesterday, talking about how excited we were about bringing your unique sports perspective to the show. Either that or what a phony baloney you are. I forget which one it was.
It was one of those two.
I heard.
God listens.
We are so excited, aren't we, Dale? Didn't we say that yesterday? How excited we were about having him here.
I don't really remember that part of the conversation. We just announced he'd be here.
But
self-promoter. This guy is only about himself.
Did mention how great of a promoter you were.
I mean, I have to promote it.
You are. You are a self-promoter like I've never seen. Like we've never seen. Okay.
Are you going to promote it?
Well, I'm not promoting your crap.
Exactly. So I have to promote my own stuff.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. How is the combat world for you right now?
It's pretty good. We just wrapped up a huge broadcast last Friday. The UFC was in town on Saturday, so we had all the UFC execs in town, which was nice. They were all at our show on Friday night. Dana didn't come, but everybody else did. And then Saturday, of course, UFC Fight Night was at Toyota Center. So it was fun, man. It was a nice weekend of combat sports last weekend. And now we just keep rolling, man. A lot of broadcasts coming up.
So you're saying Dana's really lazy? Is that what you meant by that?
Yeah. No, I think he was just busy with other stuff. He's Dana White. He's the ambassador for the UFC.
And just like Lance with Roger Goodell, you just can't say in it, because there's a chance that someday you might be up there in the big leagues calling the big fights.
We'll see. You don't know. I'm not going to say anything about Dana. You have to suck up to Dana
as much as you possibly can.
I'm not going to suck up. I'm not going to say anything bad about him.
No, you will.
At the end of the day, the money does come from the UFC, right?
Yeah, no. At the end of the day,
I can't lose another job.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely at the end of the day, you know.
That's where the money comes from.
Anyway, you come on a day. I don't know. Reed Sheppard was the toast of the town last night. He had 7 threes, 28 points. Does it count against? Does it really count when you're playing Sacramento? I don't know.
Yeah, it counts.
It counts?
It absolutely counts. Why wouldn't it count? I know it's Sacramento, that's still one of those games you have to see from him. Against competition that's not that great, a team that has 13 wins, you want to see him go off a little bit. Yeah, because it would have been way worse coming on this morning and saying, dang, Reed Sheppard looked bad against the Kings. He couldn't even do that. Like, he passed the test. That's what we want. And he looked really good.
That's when you play in college football, when you play in a small, you play at North Dakota State. You better stand out, right?
Yeah.
You
got to,
at least, but that's the competition he played. Well, he played well against that competition. So you don't know if he's going to be able to. Now, you got Orlando tonight. It'll be interesting. Amen wasn't there. Here's the question that.
Uh-oh. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Are the Rockets a better team? Okay. So that will be a question that's asked. Does Amen stop the ball? Is Amen the problem offensively for this team?
He's not the problem offensively, but. With Reed Sheppard hitting shots like he did last night. And look, it was a historic night. The career high, 7 threes. He had 5 three-pointers with, I think, 6 minutes left in the second quarter. So the rest of the game, look, it was a 30-point blowout. Doesn't matter, right? Does the offense have more space? Does the offense flow a little bit better when Reed is out there? Yes. Why are we so afraid to say that?
Well,
that doesn't mean Amen's not a good player. It's just that Amen's skill set isn't the best for what you need at times with this Rockets offense. And that's space of a shooter.
He spreads the floor. He makes you extend where Amen doesn't. Actually, they sag when Amen has got the ball. So, yeah, it clogs up because Amen is out there on the wing. He's got the ball. Now, all of a sudden, it's all congested inside because we're not guarding Amen out there. No. You know what, Amen, you want to shoot that shot? When Amen is open time and time and time again, there's a reason for that. NBA coaches know how to. Did you see, like, the game plan by Bill Self was, we ain't letting Kingston Flemings. You go ahead, CNAC. You take that shot out there, Manuel. You go ahead, take that shot out there. We're fine with that. We ain't letting Kingston Flemings beat us. We're gonna double him. We're gonna make sure that we're gonna drag him around the floor all night. Well, that's the case. That's the case with Amen as well. We'll let you sit out there and shoot.
Yeah.
Go ahead. If you get a lot of open looks in the NBA, there's a reason for it. Now the real question, Dorian Finau-Smith, he didn't play at all. Okay, he did not play.
Well, that was load management. Correct?
Are they better? Are they better?
I get it.
That's a legitimate question.
Look, the Reed Shepherd thing we can go back and forth on. There's even a moment, I think it was after his fifth three. He hits the three, everyone's celebrating, and then he gives up a three. Like, just lazy defense. It was one of the funniest things.
But in fairness, he played pretty good defense last night.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, we can nitpick all of this. We can go back and forth on Reed Shepherd. This Rockets team is better when Reed Shepherd is out there for me.
Yeah.
All right? Like, he gives you an element that you need. And I know defensively you lose a step, but, man, I'm going back to that Knicks game. They had everyone out there, and that defense didn't look that good. I know they slowed down Jalen for a bit, but they didn't look good. Like, they were getting all the other guys were getting to the hoop at any point they wanted. So it's not like this is a world beater defense. So you have to give up something. I think you get more spacing. You get more options for guys to cut as well because guys aren't sagging off of Amen.
It's the Kings, but still. Yeah.
It's still something that works. Like, you have to try it. And I know they tried it before. Reed has to get more minutes for me. You're going to need him in the playoffs. And you're going to have to play him in the playoffs. You can't just shorten your bench and just say, oh, he's too young. Nope, he's not ready. Defensively, he's not ready. Who cares? You got to take that risk.
Well, from your mouth to Ime's ears, because it seems like any crunch time, any time in the last 5 minutes of a game, he was pulled from that next game when you needed baskets. Mm-hmm. You couldn't stop them, and yet you don't have anybody on the floor other than Kevin Durant that can come up with a basket for you.
Yeah.
I mean, for whatever reason, Ime just – He goes to that defensive lineup, and it's just, what are you doing? How stagnant is this offense? Let the kid play and find out whether or not. Now, again, take it with a grain of salt because of who you played. But, you know, they're a better team when Reed Shepherd, when he has the ability, when he's allowed, he's always allowed to shoot. That's a fact. Yeah. Ime has said it time and again. You know, if he passes up shots, that's another reason I'm going to pull him out. Yeah, he's a shooter, and he needs to shoot. When he plays like he did last night, this team is really a whole hell of a lot better.
Yeah, it just looks better. It just feels easier on offense.
Well, and, look at Alpi, 9 of 13 last night.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, 8 of 13.
He actually had space to work. He could actually get a repost. Did you see that? They were reposting him. You don't get that with Amen out there. Right. And you're not going to change the starting lineup, but you've got to give Reed more minutes. You've got to put him in a place where in that rotation where he's going to succeed and he's going to be able to do what he does best, and that is shoot and skip that ball around when he can't. So I know it's the Kings, and it's like a overreaction Thursday, but it's all good. It's overreaction Thursday. That's what we're doing today.
Sam will have a graphic for this segment for our social video. Overreaction Thursday.
Do you want me to give her a clip right now?
No. She'll just tell me to stop recording that, and then she'll have her clip.
I mean, John, let's just clip it and let's just say Reed Shepard should be starting over Amen Thompson.
Oh, my God.
And let's really go for
this. Oh, my God. Sam will go.
Sam's gonna,
like, Sam is like, I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
That's it. Sam's done.
I mean, let's go for it.
Yeah, no, we didn't say that, Sam. Now, you just said that, and you know what? She's going to put that out there.
Oh, I'll go all in. I don't care. Okay. It's not. I don't work here. So if people get mad, let them get mad. And it's usually people who don't listen to the station anyways because you're getting up, you know, you're getting people who don't follow you getting these clips because that's how you go viral. So right. I don't care. I'll say it.
We don't care. We'll go viral.
Yeah,
we don't care.
Go viral. Who cares? I mean, what's going to happen?
No, you don't want to go viral. I know there's stuff in your past.
Yeah, yeah. Never go viral on Twitter.
No. Never go viral. Never. That's your motto.
Yep.
Don't go viral. And now you just put it out. Now you're going to go viral.
Oh, now they're going to dig it up. They're going to get our text messages. We're screwed.
Right. Well, Reed hit 7 threes after the game. He was asked about it. Reed was at the podium, and it was nice to have him up there. And the media got to talk to Reed Shepard on his 7 threes. And, of course, Reed gave credit to everybody involved with the organization.
At what point as a shooter do you just know that it's going to be your night that, you know, that – you pretty much everything that you're shooting is has a chance to go in.
Yeah. Anytime I can get up 16 threes, hopefully I can make at least 7. So just being able, just my teammates being able to find me and give me open shots. You know, I got a lot of kickouts, driving kicks. I got a couple off the dribble, but for the most part, it was awesome passes from inside and out. So it was. You know, a lot of that was just from my teammates and trusting me to make a shot.
Yeah, they did. They fed him, and it was
come
nice.
On, Reed. Reed, when you hit 7 threes, I know you shot 16. That's a good point by Reed. You gotta have a little bit more swag than that. Not just like, I think, nah, he's gonna be like, yeah, cuh, that's what I do. What do you want
yeah,
me to do?
What?
Yeah, cuh, that's what I do.
He's not gonna what? Say that. He doesn't have a haircut for that.
Now, what now?
You heard him, John. Don't pretend like
John doesn't
hear
know the cuh.
Yeah, neither does Reed, actually. He should
Reed
not.
That's just the down south way of saying cuz.
Reed, don't take this man's advice. Don't ever.
And he's throwing up some signs.
Yeah, don't do that.
That when you go 7 3-pointers, five in the first half, you've got you can talk a little different.
You can
come on, Reed.
Now you can't appropriate.
Yes, you can.
No. He can't appropriate.
Reed's a white man in basketball. He can appropriate.
That is true. He knows what it is. He's on an NBA team. I would imagine he knows all the.
Yeah. There's a space for Reed to, and he has to determine what he wants to be. Does he want to be, you know, the comp that he got coming out from people who were, you know, a little over the top? Is he Mark Price? Does he want to be a Mark Price type up at the podium?
Yes.
Or does he want to be a guy he'll see face-to-face in a couple games? Does he want to be a Tyler Hero? Those are your range of options for white guys.
Tyler Hero.
In the NBA. Does he want to have the vibes of Hero at the podium? Yeah. Or would he rather be a more Mark Price? He has a Mark Price haircut.
He does. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, like,
he's a lot more. He ain't white chocolate.
This is what it should have sounded like. You be the reporter, I'll be Austin Reed.
Okay, so 7 threes. Were you just feeling it tonight, Reed?
Yeah, okay. Oh, what?
No. I'm a bucket. He could say I'm a bucket. He can get away with I'm a bucket. Yeah, you know I'm a bucket. I don't know if you see me, but I'm a bucket. That's what he can say.
Follow up.
He can't follow say up. I'm a bucket.
He can say I'm a
okay,
bucket.
Okay, try it. Let's go. Again. Let's go.
Hey, right. John, ask him a
hey,
question.
Okay. Man, oh, man. 7 of 16 for 3. You were knocking him down tonight, Reed.
Oh, yes. I'm a bucket.
No, it doesn't. Don't say, I'm a bucket.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I am a bucket.
Don't say, oh, jeez. You go, yeah.
You know what I do? I'm a bucket.
There it is. That's what I do. I'm a bucket.
You know
what?
Come on, OG. You know I'm a bucket.
Well, I don't know if you call the reporter OG. I don't know who.
I know most of the reporters are like 20 now.
Yeah, I don't know if you call.
There's no more OG reporters out there.
I don't know
there.
If you call Jackson Gatlin a, OG.
What about JG? I don't know. That's the original JG, Jackson Gatlin.
Brad Doe.
OG. He's talking to Brad Doe. He calls Brad Doe an OG.
An OG?
What if Reed Shepard chops it? Like, he's just like, come on, OG. You know what I do? I bucket. Hootie hoo. He drops a hootie hoo.
All the stuff between OG and hootie hoo is fine. You know what I do? I'm a bucket. He could do that.
He could do that. That's as far as we can push it with Reed Shepard.
That's as far as Reed Shepard can go.
But what if he shows up with a taper fade?
Well, that's the hero. He's getting more hero.
But what if he shows up? Then are we okay with him?
No, he still can't just call a random reporter OG.
Or cuh.
Or hootie hoo. Even hero doesn't do that.
Hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo. No.
I cannot see Reed Shepard. Hey, hootie hoo. You know I'm buckets.
That's not even hootie hoo. I mean, he'd just be laughed at for being corny and too young to be saying it. It's cuh is what is going to be the problem.
Is that what, short for cuz?
Yeah.
Well, but it has different meanings depending on who you're talking to. Depending on who you're associated with.
Yeah, I gotta catch up.
Okay, let's see if John can do it. John, you had a really good show today. You hit all your breaks. How you feeling, man?
I was feeling it.
Hey, Sam, don't grab this.
The whole way.
Don't grab this. We're not exposing our non-regular audience to this. Nope.
Oh, man. It's a holiday show.
It already is. Lance is gone for it's not even off the plane, and it's already a holiday show. Time to talk about Champion Energy. Time to talk about your heat, about your electricity. Time to talk about how, man, it's hot in Houston. And how much do you use your air conditioner? And when you use your air conditioner, how much is it costing you? The kids are leaving the doors open, and you're nuts, right? Well, my kids, they didn't know how to shut a door. And my bill was still great. It was still awesome. I mean, I was with Champion Energy for 17 years, and I got to tell you, when I changed over the first month, I was like, are you kidding me? This is the difference from one month to the next? And it's just because how good Champion is. Look, you're looking for the best way to get that electricity into your house and not feel like you're getting knifed every month. Well, all you need to do is go to champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. The Rockets were obviously the main story last night with the... I mean, it doesn't get any easier than playing Utah and then Sacramento back-to-back. So kind of a vacation. It was nice. Kevin Durant got his 20 points, and he played for 20 minutes or, right in that neighborhood. That was good. That's good. So he got a little bit of a break as opposed to the 40 minutes he has to play every time the Rockets play, because if he's off the floor, they suck. So that was nice. That was a benefit from playing. He kind of had the last two games off. You got Orlando tonight. That won't be easy. So that'll be, in a back-to-back situation, which the Rockets have a bunch of those where the other team does. They have, how is it put, Dell? They don't have, the other team has more rest every time. The Rockets don't have more rest than any of their opponents this season.
Yeah, the Rockets have zero games the rest of the way where they will have more rest entering the game than their opponent. Now, they won't always have a rest disadvantage. They just won't have a rest advantage the rest of the way.
Not once.
And they traveled last night, too, by the way.
Right after the game. Right. Why couldn't they play a day game and then go, like baseball?
Yeah.
Getaway game.
Did a Wednesday NBA game at Toyota Center would be awesome.
Yeah.
A little hump day.
That would be totally
a hump day edition.
Yeah.
How many people show up to a Wednesday 3 p.m. game at Toyota Center?
Nobody showed up to a night game.
A 7 o'clock game?
Against the Kings on a Wednesday night.
Well, how about the league is investigating Lauri Markkanen? He has said he hurt himself in practice. So they want to see the MRI because they're such a tank. And Utah is like, is like tanking personified. Although this Sacramento team, holy crap,
it's so bad. But I don't think they're trying to be bad. They're just
bad. They were bad, and then they said, you know what, there's no reason to play Sabonis the rest of the way. They're still running out Westbrook and DeRozan and Keegan Murray, some guys who have been certainly started quite a while in this league. So they have been proven just to be bad. The Jazz, you can't sit out guys in the fourth quarter of games you're leading and not have the NBA go, let's take a closer look at what you're up to. They were too brazen with
they're
it.
Just trying to get DeBonsa, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's it. I mean, they're just like,
yeah, they're trying to get the
just
guy.
Get him, just
from
sign
BYU.
Him right now.
Well, if you got rid of the draft, they could do that. But they're too brazen. You look, tanking, fine, but you can't throw it in people's faces the way they did and think there weren't going to be some repercussions.
So are you taking DeBonsa over Peterson?
Yes.
You absolutely are. Me too. I got to have some drive in my number one overall pick.
Not only drive, but man, he's 19. The footwork is, I went, like, I'm not being hyperbolic here. I was trying to think about this. I don't remember a college player with that type of footwork in the post, off the perimeter, in the last 25 years. Like, since I was in college, I don't remember a kid this good.
DeBonsa, you're talking
about? Yeah, with DeBonsa. Durant, I was there when he was at UT, and he was just a scorer, like footwork, whatever. I'm just talking about pure footwork, the ability to get your shot from the mid-range. Also, his three-point shot looks good. Like, he has a good form, his drive that you mentioned. He is unreal, man. Like, and he hustles on defense. He wants to rebound. Yes, like, you tank for him, and he's going to be very successful in the next level.
Yeah. Kelvin Sampson had an interesting quote yesterday or the day before, in which he said, you know, last year's team with all the veterans, with LJ and Juwan and Javier, what was his name? Anyway, they had like four guys that they were ready to win. They were fourth and fifth year players, and I think Juwan was even sixth year player. He said they were ready to win. He said this year's team, with as young as it is, although you got Sharp, you know, who has been around a while, but for the most part, you know, you're made up of young guys. He said this team has been, he loves this team. It's fun, but it's a much different journey than that team was.
Yeah.
Well, he said this team is not ready to win like that team was. Well, the problem is that, and he's not used to this, this is going to be a lot of one and dones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not a team that's going to be building towards the future. And those teams were. Now, LJ was a transfer. But, you know, he had a lot of guys that were there for the most part. He doesn't use the transfer portal nearly as much as other teams do. But I think the realization of what college basketball is, if you're really, really good, I think, and it's Cenac now. I thought it was Cenac. It's Cenac now, I guess. I think Cenac could benefit, while he's going to be a top 10, 11, 12 draft pick, he could benefit from staying another year. And you know who else could? Kingston Flemings.
No. Kingston has to leave.
I know. I'm telling you, he's still young, and he is going to get pushed around in the NBA.
Yeah, but that's whoever drafts him. They're not drafting him to be the guy out the gate.
Well, if you're a fifth overall pick, you're being drafted to be a big contributor.
Yes.
That's right away.
But you'll also have the time. To get stronger, there's a natural understanding of this 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid is going to get stronger over the course of this rookie contract.
But that absolutely. But he doesn't have the body type. I mean, there's guys that go into the NBA that have the body type that, you know, you will fill out when you're not having to. I mean, I'm sure these guys are studying like 10 hours a day, right? They don't have time to get their bodies right for basketball, especially at the next level, because they are busy. you know, studying and going to class and doing all those things.
Yeah,
right?
Especially as a freshman, all those hard classes.
Right. No. Yeah. The difficult. I mean, it's difficult to be so. So you, when you can spend your all your time being, you know, playing basketball and getting your body ready for it, then you're going to be a different guy. Kingston is I really do think he would benefit. There are games, dude, where they shut him down. He mm-hmm. has been shut down. He has not been the same guy that he was earlier in the season. And oh, by the way, this is how many games that they've played so far? 24, 25 games so far. When you get into an NBA 82 game schedule and you have a slighter body and you're getting banged around every night, it's going to be that's a different deal.
Yeah, that's why that rookie wall is real in the NBA, right?
Absolutely.
Like, it's absolutely real, right? And for example, like right now they've played 28 games already, and this far into the season, how many games have NBA players played? Like that wall hits hard around the All-Star break. So I'm with you, but he will naturally get stronger. That man strength will come in. He will go into this offseason. He's going to add more muscle like they all do. And is he going to be ready for that NBA grind next year? Probably not. Nobody is. It's hard. No. It's hard. It's a lot of games.
There's a reason, however, that guys that are 3 and 4 year players succeed because they get into the league older. I mean, I'm just saying, he and Sinek could both use another year. Listen, I'm biased because I want to see him play here for another year. Don't get me wrong. But one and done is a lot more difficult. A lot more difficult. Who was it that had the a couple of years ago was a one and done for the Cougs? And he was a top. He's just starting to play now. For the team, the big dude that was the forward.
I'm blanking too.
Yeah. Anyway, it's so much easier to adjust to the NBA when you're older. He's a young kid. Kingston Flemings is a young kid, and he doesn't have the NBA body type yet.
This is going to be a true test, real quick. I know we have to hit the break, of that Coach Sampson culture that, you know, we keep guys, they want to be here, this and that, and we're a poor school, all that. That whole quote I know is kind of misquoted as well, but this is a true test of that. Like, hey, you've got NBA aspirations, and it's right there, and you're going to be a top 10 pick potentially. Are you going to come back to be part of the culture, to be part of the family and all that stuff? Or are you going to say, I'm out, I'm good? This is a true test of that because everything you said, yes, he would benefit, but it's the NBA. Your end goal is right there.
Yeah. Jairus Walker, who I was thinking of. And, you know, and he has you saw this guy. He had an NBA body going into mm-hmm. it. He did a one and done. And, you know, it's taken him a while. It even took Jamal Shedd a while. But I saw a story about Jamal that he is now the leader over there. And he's not even, you know, one of their main guys, but he has taken over a leadership role with the Raptors.
I did not see that.
They love that guy.
That's awesome. And
there's a reason. Jamal Shedd is real.
Yeah.
Right? Cuh. The dude is real.
Hey, okay? There you go, John. That's what I'm talking about, cuh.
Yeah.
Hey, cuh. All right.
That's what I'm talking about, cuh. Break in here, 713-780-3776. You want to get in here, you are more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Hang with us.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. I just saw this. This is interesting. Stafford, we'll get you in here in a second. 8 days until World Baseball Classic, 20 days until March Madness, 29 days until opening day, 43 days until the Masters, 52 days until NBA and NHL playoffs, 57 days until NFL draft, and 106 days until the World Cup. What are you most excited about?
The World Cup. That's not even close. The World Cup. This is the biggest tournament, and it's going to be in Houston, a select amount of games.
The World Baseball Classic will be in Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you excited about with the World Baseball Classic?
America.
Team Japan.
How about Scoobles only pitching one game?
Well, Detroit was like, we'll give you one. We'll let you do this one.
What if he gets hurt?
This is why they are only getting one. I know.
The insurance stuff
has been crazy. I mean, if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm like, by the way, Pittsburgh, have you seen this kid, Connor Griffin?
No.
I mean, he's 19 years old.
Is that a real person?
Yeah. Connor Griffin, he's 19 years old. He hit two bombs yesterday.
I saw him called generational. I think it might have been Harold Reynolds. He goes, look, I kind of know baseball, and I'm looking at this kid, generational.
Yeah. I mean, everybody is like.
He looks like a tight end for Rice.
He does look like a Rice guy, kind of baseball player-ish. But he's 19. Nobody has been in the bigs. I think Ken Griffey Jr., was he the last one? 19? Or no, Juan Soto had to be 19. He was 12 when he came to the bigs, right?
He was 12 when he was destroying the Astros in the World Series.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. No, I didn't know about this kid.
Yeah, Connor Griffin.
So he's going to be playing next year, you think?
This year?
How
are you going to keep him? Yeah, you can't keep him off the field. No way.
And is he on Team USA?
No, he's just on the Pirates.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then what's the point? Put him on Team USA.
What's the point?
Yeah, I thought we want our best out there. Put him up.
Well, I don't know if he's the best right now.
Well, of the guys who can play, because everyone's in insurance hell right now.
Right.
Can Beyonce sponsor his insurance like Bad Bunny did for Correa?
Well, Correa couldn't even get that done, though.
Yeah, couldn't even get that because it was with the company nobody knew.
No, he couldn't. He couldn't get it done. Who?
Kid Rock? Kid Rock should do that.
Kid Rock could do it.
Kid Rock, come on.
Yeah,
he just got paid doing the Turning Point show.
I don't know, man. You sure he's got enough left in his bag to just dole out money to randoms?
Yeah.
You sure?
Oh, he just did the halftime show for the Super Bowl.
There may have been a real reason why he had to do that.
Yeah. They recorded that too, right?
Ooh, it was live. You down Kid Rock's bag?
Kid Rock is fine. Okay? Say it, John. Kid Rock ain't worried about his money.
I don't know. Okay? I don't
Connor just needs to rock a Make America Healthy Again hat, and then boom, free insurance.
Well, then RFK will do that. Then RFK will sponsor him.
Here's your insurance.
Junior, RFK Junior.
Yeah.
Let's get Stafford in here. Hey, Stafford, what up?
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning, Stafford.
I've been listening to the conversation, particularly about the Jazz. And it made me think about something. Because, you know, I called in last week because I just don't see the big deal about tanking. But I'm listening to the morning show, well, the one that's on ESPN, because I have to listen to it before y'all come on. And they're having this conversation about quarterbacks in the NFL and how the Dolphins shouldn't take a quarterback, not the Dolphins and Jets shouldn't sign Malik Willis because Malik Willis might win them 5 or 6 games and then they won't be able to get a quarterback in next year's, not this year, but next year's draft. But I'm like, in the same breath, y'all will sit here and complain about the Jazz and the Kings tanking. Like, so what's the difference? And I know that was not y'all. That's a completely different show on a completely different network. But do you feel like that's hypocrisy? Do you think that, because it's a quarterback and it's such a repetition team, should just go ahead and tank? But I don't know, man. I think they should just focus more on competition instead of tanking. Like, but what y'all think?
It's hard for us. It's hypocritical with what the Astros did, what the Rockets did. I mean, they tanked for 3 years. So
there's nothing more American than tanking in sports. That's part of American sports. That's what we do. You have to tank. There's no other way to get that potential game-changing franchise player.
Unless you live in a place where people like to play, like the Lakers' exceptionalism is all about the fact that they just attract stars. But if you are the Jazz, what's your best way to go about getting better fast? You need to fall into a generational, a word Lance doesn't like to use, generational player. And now they've made smart trades. Lauri Markkanen's a good player. Jaren Jackson Jr., they just acquired. He's out for the rest of the year. So they feel like if they get their guy this draft, they'll be ready to go. They may finally just start trying to win games. But to Stafford's point, we're fine with NFL teams punting on multiple years, particularly if the quarterback class isn't great, just to be ready for 2027, right? The NFL doesn't have a tanking problem. No one says it's a problem, except for that one time where I think the Dolphins were accused of making it unsafe for the players they were running out there because they weren't NFL players back in 19. Of course, they went on and won like five games. So that was like the only time I heard people really upset about an NFL team tanking.
It's also hard in the NFL with quarterbacks. You can't attract free agent quarterbacks for the most part.
Well, they're not good if you can attract them for the most part.
It doesn't happen. So it's a different situation.
So I saw Adam Schefter, for whatever reason, said that Green Bay would be a good place for Tua or Kyler. And I was like, really? Are those guys, are you going to be I'm going to be a backup in this league now?
Well, it might be that thing where absence makes the heart grow fonder. They play in a couple games and maybe look good because of Green Bay's infrastructure and everyone kind of forgets what happened. And, you know, Jordan Love does miss time. He gets hurt. So, hey, run him out there a couple games with Matt LaFleur. And if they look good, all of a sudden people have a different thought about them. And they don't have to play as much as a starter, so there's less of all that surrounding them. I see what he's saying, and particularly if Malik Willis is going to go make $30 million a year, which is what they're throwing out there. Like they say, the Steelers, like one website said, the Steelers would be a good fit, and the deal would be like 3 years, $90 million.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there are, you know, look, yeah, Darnold did it, you know, and he went and he had to sit. And
what does Daniel Jones get if he doesn't? He might get it anyway, but what does he get if he doesn't tear his Achilles? From the Colts, what would they be giving him if he finished the year?
What are they going to give him now anyway?
Yeah, exactly. He may get that deal anyway. But if he finished the year and they you know, actually win games, I don't think they won a game after he got hurt. If they wind up winning 10 games or 11 games, make the playoffs, Daniel Jones going there when he wasn't projected to be the starter.
Yeah, but he
wasn't
projected,
but he wound up getting because Anthony Richardson is
Richardson. When you're going to a place where Anthony Richardson is, I feel like you got a good chance of starting. You don't have any chance of starting over Love.
But also, Daniel Jones was a guy who was in Minnesota and just was a backup and never played.
Yeah.
And then he wound up behind Darnold, I think, or whatever. I forgot how it all played out. And then he wound up with the Colts. So I think that's Schefter's thought. Hey, go sit behind Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Play a couple games and then move on.
Yeah. Yep. Is Tua in that spot right now?
Well, he's still under contract and if they did release him, it'd be a $90 million. Well, if they release him before June 1st, it's a $90 million cap hit, $99 million cap hit. So he's probably not going to find a job until June. So he'll be waiting around a little bit.
Yeah.
How come that didn't work with Davis Mills? Got in a couple games, looked good. Can we leverage him for something?
It worked with Texan fans. They're like, hey, bring him in.
What are you giving up for Davis Mills?
I don't know. What is it?
I mean, is he Matt Schaub where you can get a couple of seconds?
The problem is there is like two full years of seeing him start. Matt Schaub didn't have that.
Right.
So the warts, if you.
But that doesn't count. Those are COVID years.
Yeah, but understood. Well, one of them wasn't. What was it? It was 20 and 21, was it?
Yeah.
That's 22. A while ago.
That's a whole different America.
No, he played in 22. That wasn't a COVID year.
That was a tanking year.
The problem is there's too many starts on his resume. Matt Schaub didn't have any. Really? There are too many starts on Davis Mills' resume. We're like, okay, that's pretty average quarterback play.
And then bring Kyler here as a backup.
Would people want him to be the backup?
Would be
fun. I don't know that people that would want him to be the backup.
Fun. The Toro district would be nonstop if Kyler was here.
Yeah, I don't know. No, don't do that.
Can we talk about
Davis
the Toro?
Mills is bad enough.
Yeah.
I mean, the Davis Mills, the Mills truthers, it's bad enough. We can't have. And CJ with his new haircut, I don't want any controversy behind him.
I want all of it. Can we talk about the Toro district next?
Next. We'll talk about the Toro district right here.
Right there.
But first, we're talking about your best hookup for a mortgage. Look, okay, you're sitting there, and you might have an interest rate of 7. If you have an interest rate of 7, you need to call Kent Jones, okay, at Dream Rate Mortgage, 713-520-5626. He'll do the math. The math is this. Let's say you're 90% certain that you're going to be in the house for a couple of years or more. If it only takes 6 months to pay off the refi, it's absolutely worth it for you to do it, okay? Absolutely worth it. Let Kent Jones do the math, because there's math on this thing. You don't know the math. He has wholesale lenders, okay, title companies, insurance agents, buyer's agents that could refund part of their commission. He's not retail. He's not going to. There's a difference between going to one of those big mortgage companies and going to Kent Jones, a local owned and operated company with no overhead. Well, very little overhead. It's him. It's him you'll be talking to. He is going to be a teammate for you. Dream Rate will partner to fight against big mortgage. Okay. You need to really, 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 if you're buying a home or you want to refi, you need a guy who's been doing this for 30 years and knows all of the hacks. 31 years, nearly 1,500 closings, Better Business Bureau, A+. Kent Jones is the guy to call. 713-520-5626 or 975loans.com. All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. So, Cal and Hannah, I don't know, they had some kind of party showing everybody what the Toro district is going to look like. It looks pretty cool. It's going to cost a lot of money, but it is, and rightfully so. They talked about, you know, when the Rolling Stones came and you know, they're doing sound checks while they're trying to work in there in the building. I get it. You're an NFL team. You got the rodeo that kicks them out. All of these things. Let's hear from yesterday. They were asked, guess what? The World Cup is coming. And the World Cup is coming during the summer when the Texans kind of need their facility. And here is, it's a little surprising to me that they've known that the World Cup is coming for some time now, and everything's not worked out. But here's Cal being asked about it.
That's a great point. So we're moving a lot of our activities out and trying to plan our way around it, and we'll do our best, and we'll still have the team ready to play, but it'll be a challenge. But we're glad FIFA's here. It's wonderful for the city. We totally embrace it, and we will figure it out. But it's going to be a challenge.
So moving to another site for those days, like maybe the gym or the.
I don't know that we have all those plans worked out yet.
Huh? You should get that worked out pretty fast.
I mean, we're 100 days away. We don't have worked out where we're going to be practicing, or where we're going to what? We've known about the World Cup for years now.
Okay, so the World Cup is going to be here June 14th through about July 4th.
That's kind of when things get started.
No, it gets started a little bit later than that.
Oh, no,
it's true. August.
That is true.
So what is that, the... What, well, it's not they, like they're
they
moving
have,
practices.
They have mini camps.
They have mini camps, yeah.
Do mini camps in Bridgeland. There's world-class stadiums in Cy-Fair.
What?
I'm serious.
World a high class? School stadium?
World class?
Do it. No. Have you seen these stadiums?
Yeah,
John, you've seen
world
them. They're huge
class.
Stadiums now.
It's less about the stadiums and more about the infrastructure.
No, even in Cy-Fair, they are
the training
huge.
Facility they're going to need. And
Find a place. That's not the hard part. Do it at Rice. Do it at University of Houston. There's places to do that.
Do it at Rice so they're peeing in troughs?
Yeah.
Do the players
that's not,
have to pee in troughs?
That's not that big of a deal. And if it's mini camps, okay, you can figure that out. It's a
U of H has
event.
A whole new facility.
Yeah, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. Yeah, this is you're dealing with this one time. So it's fine. My whole thing with the Toro District, I went to Bridgeland on Monday to go watch a high school basketball game, a playoff game, which Klein Oak won. My boy's on the team. And let me tell you, it's far, number one, for me, and I'm in Richmond. It's supposed to be down the road. It is far. Grand Parkway has two lanes. That's the road that's going to get you there, the tollway. Yeah. And in these mock-ups, they all of a sudden have four lanes on the Grand Parkway. That's not going to happen. They're not expanding the Grand Parkway to four lanes in the next 3 years. It's impossible. They're not doing that. Even if they were going to build a stadium out there, that is a major undertaking.
It's forward thinking. Mm. They're thinking about in 2080.
Okay. Then you better get started now because it's going to take until 2080 to do that. The way the construction goes here.
This is the CityCast version of Real peeking through right now.
This is so frustrating. I get it. You need your own space. You want to be forward thinking and create a district like the Cowboys did. All that stuff, right? Toro District.
That's fine. It ain't far for people in Tomball. You know how far it is for people in Tomball right now?
How far?
That's all you're worried about is Richmond, Rosenberg.
No, it's still far for people in Tomball.
No,
Bridgeland is not some centerly located place. What are we? Have you been out to Bridgeland? You have. You've driven by it. It's not centrally located to anybody but people in Bridgeland. I'm serious. I don't get this fascination.
Well, that's why why they're going. The land is cheap.
They've got a sweetheart deal with Howard Hughes, right? The big developer.
Yeah.
And they're probably getting a lot of money for that. I get it. And then Harris County residents are going to have to start paying for all the development out there as well because that's going to be a county fee. The Texans, if you have an issue with getting kicked out because of Monster Jam and the Rolling Stones, you're a billion-dollar franchise. Build your own damn stadium. This is getting frustrating. The county's
Stop. When was the last time an NFL team built its own stadium?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. We got to start talking about that.
What? They don't do it because they can't. Because they don't have to.
Pony up some of your money. Don't build the whole thing, but pony up more money if you want. If you don't want to get a sweetheart deal from the county to be at NRG Stadium, where you're paying $4 million in rent, but you get all that back in tax rebates, right? Like, then do something on your own.
They're not. They don't. They don't have to.
Frustrating. Listen, so dumb.
They're going out to Bridgeland. You know how that area is going to expand now? All the players are going to live up there. And people are going to be moving up there. There are going to be a lot of workers in
you
that.
You have to.
And they're going to have to, is right. So you just hate expansion of Bridgeland because you're a honk for Richmond Rosenberg.
Yeah, no, Richmond Rosenberg has already gone through it. And I'm telling you right now, it sucks when the infrastructure is not ready for that type of expansion.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, really?
That's a huge
expansion. I'm going to have to trust Howard Hughes, not Raheel, on this one.
Okay? I get it.
Just because you had to drive away a ways, okay?
No.
It was inconvenient for you to go to a high school basketball game.
No, it wasn't inconvenient for me. I'm just saying on game days, if that's where the stadium is going to be, and that's by all accounts, that's what it's leaning towards, just like
no,
be in that
I'm not
area.
Sure about that.
Be
sure
in that area. In that
I'm not
area.
Sure about that.
Where do you think it's going to be then?
Who knows? You know what? Listen, the Cowboys facility is a long way from their stadium. I mean, Frisco to Arlington, it's not. Just because they're going up to Bridgeland doesn't mean that they're going to build a stadium up there.
So then the Cowboys situation. It is not a fun one, by the way.
That's a lot of places, Raheel. It's different. The facility is different than the stadium.
Why not do it correctly then? Why have them so far away?
Well, what's the difference where they are? Why do you care where they are practicing and where they have to go? Where the stadium is important. But I don't. Just because they're moving up to Bridgeland doesn't mean they're going to build the stadium up there.
Okay. Good for them if that's they're like, hey, we're going to be committed and we'll build a stadium somewhere else, or if we redo NRG
and
get all that going.
But here's the deal: they only play on Sundays or Monday nights or a Thursday, one Monday night, Thursday night, whatever.
Yeah,
on a Sunday, it's not going to be hard to get to the stadium, wherever it is. That's the thing about the NFL. It ain't like baseball's got to be downtown so that after work I can just go to the game, or NBA, it's got to be downtown. A football stadium is on a Sunday at noon, and you can get there from wherever. And you know what? It's an outing, and it's a whole day thing anyway for the NFL. It's different. It's different. If it was in Bridgeland, Richmond, Rosenberg, people wouldn't care about driving up there.
No, everyone would care because...
No, it's unless, on a Sunday.
No, John, but until you expand the Grand Parkway, two lanes is not going to be able to handle all that traffic.
Yeah, but for a Sunday, yes, it will on a Sunday morning.
On a Sunday, how many...
On a Sunday morning,
70,000 people going down a two-lane highway?
Foxborough has a one-lane highway that's the only one that goes into the stadium. And it's a long way from their facility.
No, I mean, getting in, no, look, but like or, getting to Foxborough, you still have major freeways. Once you get closer to it, yes, you're right. It does slim down. This is like from 290 or I-10. It's two lanes the whole way there, and it's not like just 3 miles away. It is far in. It's really deep in. But yeah. I get it. Like, let's not even talk about that game day experience yet. I just want, like, Bridgeland out there. It's far. Fine. Players are going to have to move out there. Team personnel, you're going to have to move out there because driving from, if you're inside the loop to Bridgeland, it's going to be an hour. Yeah. It sucks. Okay? It's a far drive. It's not centrally located. But I get it. They're excited. They're all hyped up for it and all of this. I just wish they could have done something where NRG is and where it is, like, and develop a district there. And revive that area more. Yeah, that would have been my wish, but it's not happening. So
a big part of it is how much they could get the land for up there.
Yeah,
and you know how Howard Hughes, they put it in front of them, and it was economically. I mean, the whole thing for them is going. Listen, they're going to be Bridgeland. They're going to live up there. That's going to be a whole community that they're building up there. But that's not going to. Listen, that doesn't necessarily mean that the stadium is going to be up there. As a matter of fact, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that
there's a lot of land out there. There's a lot, especially the side that they're building on. It's all underdeveloped right now.
And again, on a Sunday, it doesn't matter where the stadium is. It doesn't. That a lot of stadiums are outside. It doesn't matter where it is because it's usually on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be that. It's not going to be that difficult.
A lot of people want to talk about this, so we can do that next.
Okay.
People are calling about it. They were all hyped up yesterday, Bridgeland, and like we'll have an honest conversation about this on the other side as well, about like who actually is going to go all the way to Bridgeland to Toro District. We can do that as well.
Right. Right now we're talking about baskets, getting buckets.
Come on, cook a buckets.
So you think these NBA players had? Do you think that they had some buckets? They had a bucket at their house to shoot and shoot and shoot? You want to be Jimmy Chitwood? You want your kid to be Jimmy Chitwood? Yeah, you do. Okay? Shoot, shoot, shoot. Well, your little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old can't reach a 10-foot basket. So lower the basket. Let them get their shooting eye. You know how much money is out there in them there hills for in college? Okay? And just even at smaller schools, if you can shoot, well, your kids, they want to shoot. They want to have fun. They don't want a 10-foot basket. They want a pro dunk basket because you can raise and lower that basket with just a push of a button. It's the best basket in the history of baskets. Your kids, they want to play. Even the older kids, they might not be all that athletic. Okay, they ain't dunking on a 10-foot goal. There are some people, Thurheel can't even dunk on a 10-foot goal anymore. I mean, he's old. When you are somebody that you're not that athletic, you want to still have fun dunking. Well, lower the goal and work on your dunks. The kids love it, Dad. They don't want a 10-foot goal stapled to the bat to the garage. What they want is the best goal that you could possibly have that you can raise and lower with a push of a button. That's Pro Dunk. ProDunk.com. Tell Keith Tate that you heard it right here. But if you're going to get the kids outside playing, you got to have a Pro Dunk goal.
Yes, Pete.